Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Everybody, my name is Sue Supriano, and I'm really excited today to be talking with Dr. Stephen Greer, who has written about and is touring around talking about a very exciting, controversial, probably for a lot of people, subject, which has to do with extraterrestrials being around the Earth. But not only that, because I'm sure you've heard a lot of people say that, but he has been interviewing witnesses, including people in the military. He has a website where you can read all about this called disclosureproject.org. He's recently written a book called Disclosure, which is available on the website. And there just was a conference here in San Francisco, which I wasn't able to attend. I did look at the website, and the things that you're claiming are just really very heartening and very important. So, Dr. Stephen Greer, I want to ask you, you're an MD. I want to ask you, first off, how you happened to get into, from being an MD into pursuing this particular subject.
Well, I'm an emergency physician, and my exposure to this happened when I was quite young. I was about 8 or 9 years of age and saw in broad daylight a disc-shaped object that was hovering silently. And several other boys in the neighborhood and myself saw it, and I knew what I had seen. I knew that it was an actual, quote, UFO. And around that same time, my uncle was designing the lunar module that took Neil Armstrong to the moon. He was a senior project engineer at Grumman that built the lunar module that landed on the moon. So I had a tremendous interest in space, and that and this sighting that I had ignited a lifelong interest in this issue.
Well, I think if you would just start describing the Disclosure Project and what you found out and the importance of it, and there's just so much to talk about and not too much time, so just move it along here.
Well, basically, in 1993, I was asked to brief President Clinton's first CIA director, James Woolsey, on this subject. He and the president had made inquiries, President Clinton had made inquiries through channels to find out what was really going on with these UFO issues and had been denied access and had not been provided any legitimate information. So a friend of the director of Central Intelligence brought me into Washington, and we had a three-hour meeting with the CIA director. And it was made quite clear to me that there were rogue, if I may use that word, classified projects that were not being properly supervised by either the Congress or the President that were dealing with this subject, and that this was not some conspiracy theory. But here I am briefing a sitting CIA director, and it's become quite clear to me that this is the case. Subsequently, what we set upon doing was to identify from inside these projects, both in the military and in the intelligence sector, firsthand military, intelligence, and corporate witnesses to these sorts of events and projects that are firsthand. In other words, these are people who have dealt with the radar tracking of these objects, have dealt with the retrieval of extraterrestrial devices and bodies, who have dealt directly with the investigation of landing events where these objects have landed on terra firma, are people ranging from brigadier generals to colonels to corporate executives to people who are very senior in the intelligence community. From virtually every agency, ranging from the National Security Agency, the National Reconnaissance Office, the CIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, all the armed services, and a number of foreign countries. These witnesses, over an eight-year period, we were able to convince them that it was in the public's interest to come forward with the truth. And the Disclosure Project is the vehicle for this testimony and the evidence that they have to be presented to the world. Now, for example, one of these witnesses, John Callahan, who is the fourth highest-ranking FAA official during the Reagan years, he was in charge of accidents and investigations for the FAA in 1986.
Federal Aviation? What is FAA? Yeah.
FAA is the Federal Aviation Administration. And this particular event that he was involved with was when a 747 Japan Airlines cargo jet flying over Alaska began to be followed by a very large UFO the size of four 747s. It was massive. It was tracked for 31 minutes on radar. It was on the 747's radar. It was seen visually by the pilots. It was later seen and tracked by military radar, and it interacted and signaled to the captain of the 747 that signaled to it. This report was investigated thoroughly by Mr. Callahan in his senior position at the FAA, and they concluded, in fact, it was an actual, real, structured UFO of enormous size. He was asked to do a briefing for the administrator of the FAA in Washington in the Situation Room. They call it the Round Room. And the CIA had three representatives there. The FBI had three representatives there. And Ronald Reagan's science team had three representatives at this meeting. At the end of the meeting, the CIA stood up and said, "You were never here. This meeting never happened, and this event never happened," and they proceeded to confiscate all the evidence. What they failed to realize, at least what the CIA people failed to realize, is that Mr. Callahan had retained the originals of the videotape of the radar tracing, the reports and the transcripts from the pilots, etc., and he has now given all those to the project, to the Disclosure Project, and he has gone on the record testifying to not only the reality of this event, but also of the CIA-enforced confiscation and cover-up that ensued. So this is just—I give this as just one example of many of over 100 people like John Callahan who have come forward. You know, for years, the media and the scientific community have said, look, where's the beef here? Where are the senior officials? Where are the government people who've dealt with this stuff? If this is real, where are they? This is the project that at long last, after 50 years of cover-up and secrecy, has identified these people and have been able to get them to courageously come forward and tell the truth to the American people and to the world about a subject of enormous significance and implications to the human future.
Yeah, well, even as you're talking about it, of course, and I'm not even half as much as a non-believer as a lot of people, and, you know, there's all this little reservations are in my mind. It's very hard not to get over it. And I know that your organization is a nonprofit, disclosureproject.org. That's my cell phone ringing. I can't believe it. So I would like you to talk some more about that and people's response to it and the kinds of evidence that you have. Just go on about that. And who are these folks that are making these UFOs? What has the government been doing?
I think it's very important for the listener to understand that we have had a highly classified project within a compartmented special access areas of U.S. and other governments dealing with this for over 50 years. And we can prove this now through direct testimony, government documents, and evidence, hard evidence. Now, what that means is that we are dealing with a situation where we not only have tracked and documented extraterrestrial vehicles that are visiting the Earth, which I should emphasize are completely non-hostile. If they were hostile, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation, given the fact they have the capacity to go through interstellar space. But that in addition to that, that we have spent hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in so-called black budget funding in these research and development efforts. And what that has done is to create the technologies which, if they could be declassified and used for peaceful purposes, would take the world off of the fossil fuel, oil, gas, and coal internal combustion energy system. There are extraordinary advances in physics and in electromagnetic and other energy systems that have resulted from the study of these so-called UFOs as well as from other human breakthroughs completely unconnected to the UFO subject that have been suppressed and classified for at least half a century. What this means is that a subject that many people roll their eyes and go, oh, well, little gray men or little green men, actually has the most profound implications for the sustainability of our civilization, to wit. There are a number of witnesses that we've identified who have dealt directly with energy generation and propulsion systems that are anti-gravity related and similar that permit the generation of energy from the ambient electromagnetic field or in the space that you and I are sitting in. No fuel source is required. It is not a perpetual energy situation at all. It is tapping energy that's in the ambient electromagnetic and quantum vacuum state around us. Now, these technologies would enable the world to have not only abundant energy at virtual no cost, but it would end all the pollution, global warming, and other issues. It would also lift the third world out of poverty within a generation because the infrastructure required to put in traditional power plants and the fuel costs are prohibitive for many villages in sub-Saharan Africa or the Amazon or India, whereas these devices do not require that kind of infrastructure and have no fuel cost. So you would see a rapprochement between the first world and the third world and a total realignment of the world geopolitically as well as economically. Now, I will tell you that the secrecy around this issue is in no small part connected to the fact that there would be tectonic plate shifts, as we sit here in San Francisco, related to this kind of information coming out, which would empower these huge sections of the world's population currently living in the most miserable poverty. And in doing so, would enable them to reach parity with the West, Europe and America, in terms of their technological and financial and standard of living, gross domestic product or per capita income. When that happens, obviously, I mean, the United States and Europe is only 600 million people, which is approximately 10% of the world's population. We would really have to begin to share geopolitical power with the rest of the world. And I hate to say this, but the secrecy isn't driven because people are going to jump out of buildings because there are extraterrestrials. The secrecy on this and the energy-connected projects has been enforced because of the special interests of the energy sector, as well as the geopolitical power structure that has developed, that is centered around a zero-sum game of energy supply and technological advancement. And while it's certainly understandable why people would want to preserve the power they have and the wealth they have, in the meanwhile, we're running the world's environment over a cliff, and we are also at the same time destabilizing the world situation by this growing disparity between the wealthy nations and the impoverished ones.
Mm-hmm. It's in keeping with many other things the United States government does to keep this secret, and particularly with the president that we have now, although he's not the first to be connected to oil interests. I'd like you to say more, Dr. Stephen Greer, about these extraterrestrials.
Well, it's quite clear that these extraterrestrial vehicles and the people within them, by some accounts numbering some 50 or 60 different civilizations that have monitored and are visiting this planet, that none of them are hostile. And I want to emphasize that. And if you look at the testimony that we've accumulated from many military officers, they will say that while there's no evidence that they have acted in a hostile way towards us, we have acted in a hostile way towards them. And in addition to this, that they have been very concerned with our human capacity for weapons of mass destruction and weapon systems. For example, we have witnesses from Malmstrom Strategic Air Command facility where the intercontinental ballistic missile silos were rendered unlaunchable in 1968, I believe it was, when UFOs were there hovering over the facility. And it was their way of saying, you know, please don't engage in this mutual assured destruction thermonuclear war. And I think also they were saying, and know this, we are not going to allow you to put these weapons out in space. We have two witnesses, one a lieutenant colonel and another one who was a captain, who had the launch control responsibilities, who are on the record, name, rank, and serial number, that this event happened. And they have also produced official government documents documents that support the fact that this has happened. Mm-hmm. In all, there's about a dozen witnesses from that event. Now, what that event demonstrates is that these extraterrestrial life forms, while not hostile towards us, seem to be very, very concerned about these weapons of mass destruction, and in particular, our attempts to put these kind of weapons into space. For example, we have a professor at a prestigious university in the Midwest, Professor Robert Jacobs, who had been at Vandenberg Air Force Base when an intercontinental ballistic missile was being tested and launched, and his crew was responsible for filming this launch as it went into subspace. And as it did so, a UFO came in from outer space, and this was all on film that he saw, and went around the object and with some type of energy system or beam, neutralize that intercontinental ballistic missile as a way of saying, we don't want you putting these things out into space. We have another witness, Colonel Diedrichsen, who was later with the Atomic Energy Commission, who has testified that we attempted to lob a thermonuclear weapon onto the moon in 1968 to show the Soviets how powerful we had become. And that as this intercontinental ballistic missile that had been equipped to go all the way to the moon as a moon-directed thermonuclear device left our airspace, it was intercepted by an extraterrestrial vehicle and was neutralized. Now, these are people who all these cases I just told you, people can read this testimony at disclosureproject.org. And the book Disclosure, as well as a videotape we have of this testimony, is available for anyone in the world to look at and see. We're putting all this information out there. And these are men who were responsible for the security and the launching of thermonuclear devices in the event of a thermonuclear war, and whose word is taken very seriously in any other area. Why should we ignore them on this issue? You see? So it's a very important thing to understand that these are real cases with real people and that the implications could not be greater. This is one of the things that we're so concerned about and why I've joined up with Dr. Carol Rosen to study the issue of the space weapons matter is that we know from insiders that the so-called National Missile Defense and these issues are really a storefront operation, and what they're really planning to do with these hundreds of billions of dollars is to weaponize space and to target and destroy extraterrestrial vehicles. Now, people say, well, why would anyone do such a thing? I think they're doing it because they want to grow the military and industrial complex as a war-oriented industry into space, where it can go from $1 trillion a year globally right now to $2 to $3 or $4 trillion a year globally in a decade or two. And that this is something which every man, woman, and child on this planet needs to stand up and say, absolutely not. No, we're not going to allow this to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's totally in keeping, in my opinion, with how the military-industrial complex works. So that doesn't surprise me that that's what's happening. And I know probably I'm not the only one still wondering, and these political issues are really the main issues. I don't want to diminish them at all. But still I'm wondering, so do these extraterrestrial beings talk to, I mean, do they communicate? You said that there were bodies that beings were killed, and so I'm sure everybody's wondering, including me, how do they look, how do they talk, where do they come from?
Well, they're more than one extraterrestrial species has been retrieved through the retrieval operations, both in the United States and in foreign countries. And they have a various types of appearances. Some are height and look very similar to humans. Some are much shorter, some are much taller. They are all of a humanoid, basic, bipedal, bimorphic physiology. Their organ structure, skin, and everything else are very different, and we don't have time to go into all the descriptions of the ones mm-hmm. that I personally know about and have been able to document. But the fact is that they are people. I regard them as people from other worlds. We should regard them as people. They're conscious and sentient. They're here for the best of reasons, the best we can tell. And certainly, there's no evidence that they're hostile. You know, I was at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base where some of the materials from the crash in New Mexico were sent in the 40s. and meeting with the Foreign Aerospace Science and Technology Center and discussing this issue with the officers there and with Colonel Canola and some of the other folks. And they said to me, do you think that these people from outer space could be a threat to the national security? And I just laughed, and I said, well, if you have the ability to travel through interstellar distances and literally dematerialize and rematerialize advanced technological devices across space-time, yes, if they had wanted to be a threat to us, we would have not had any problem. They would have had no problem terminating our civilization instantly as soon as we started playing around with these thermonuclear weapons and going into space with them. The fact that they haven't done so is abundant testimony that they are not hostile, because you and I would not be breathing the free air of Earth today if they were. So I explained this to these military people who get very locked into this dialectic us versus them mindset and say, look, we need to take another look at this. Why don't we disclose this information and recruit our wise elders and our diplomats and our thinkers and our philosophers and our theologians and other good people on the Earth to study this matter and then develop an approach to these extraterrestrial civilizations that would redound to the benefit of all of us in a mutually beneficial way. And I think this is something that has been that our society for 50 or 60 years has been deprived of because it has been kept so secret, up to and including members of the CEO of our country, as it were, the president at times, has been left in the dark, as we found with Clinton and Carter, and that, in fact, there have been many leaders around the world who have been deliberately denied access or misled. In the case of Ronald Reagan, he was surrounded by people who convinced him that there was a need for these Star Wars weapons because they sort of xenophobically portrayed these extraterrestrials as a threat, when in reality they are not a threat. Mm-hmm. Now, I think perhaps we may be viewed as a threat because we have a proven track record of killing hundreds of millions of people in the past century through warfare, and now we have these weapons of mass destruction, and now we're going into space with them. Now, you'd have to be brain dead if you're an extraterrestrial not to regard this as something of a threat to the universe. So I tell people that this whole issue, we really need to look long and hard in the mirror and see that perhaps it's the human condition that's the problem, and we need to correct that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have any problem agreeing with that. I mean, certainly we have to the military-industrial complex is always wanting an enemy. If it's not one thing, it's another, and then the media comes along and just cranks it up so everybody believes it's an enemy, whether it's a communist or it could be the people from outer space, but there's always got to be one so the military can keep making their money, basically.
Let me comment on that. I think this is a very important point, however, and people need to be careful that they not demonize the military or the industrial complex or the aerospace industry or the intelligence community in one fell swoop. The biggest supporters we have are military people, mm-hmm. people who are currently in the Pentagon at senior positions who are also being lied to about these projects and are furious about it. I have been meeting with admirals and generals, people who have been in the most senior positions in the Pentagon as well as the Ministry of Defense in the United Kingdom and in other countries, who have said to me, we are being denied information on this just like the public are, and we are horrified about what is going on. What can we do?
So what's behind that?
There is a very classified, compartmented, tightly held operation that is international that deals with this issue, which does not respond to the legal chain of command of the United States or any other country. This we can prove in an open court of law. And it is one of the most serious threats to the Constitution and to the security of the world and of our own national security in the history of the human race. And this is why the Disclosure Project is so important. And we invite people to get on the website, disclosureproject.org, and read some of this testimony and find out how they can become involved. We're asking people to write their representative, their two senators, the president, and ask for open hearings in the Congress where not only these 100 initial witnesses that we've interviewed can testify, but the other 300 or 400 that we have that are wanting to be immunized and are wanting to be subpoenaed officially can testify. And we are fully capable today to pull the veil back completely on the secrecy around this issue and start a whole new chapter in human history. But we need people listening to this program to act, to actually learn about the issue and to contact their representatives. And if their representatives say, well, we don't know anything about it, hand them the book of transcripts and say, here, learn about this. We want open hearings because this isn't just about whether or not we're alone in the universe. It's also about whether we will have a sustainable civilization for our children and their children to live in. So this is a very, very important issue that people need to be educated about.
Yeah, it sure is. And there's very likely people from other countries listening to this program, too. So you said this was an international secrecy. Could you say a little bit more about that in our short remaining time here, Dr. Stephen Greer?
Yes, well, I have briefed the head of the United Nations, Boutros Ghali, and his wife. I have briefed other people in other countries around the world. And what I have found is that there is a universal blanket of secrecy on this, and that what people around the world should do is contact their governments and ask very specifically that their governments support an international treaty banning these weapons from space, that their governments contact the U.S. Congress and the President asking for these open hearings, and that they ask that these advanced energy and propulsion systems be declassified and that we begin to study how they may be applied for peaceful energy and propulsion purposes so that we can end global warming and the environmental problems. These are all very doable things. They seem like insurmountable problems today. And what we know from having been on the inside is that these are all problems that we already have the solutions for. But it's going to take a great deal of public action both here and abroad to make that a reality.
Well, I guess that's what you call a paradigm shift, all right, to cooperation is a big part of the shift that needs, that a lot of people, it's pretty obvious, needs to happen. So this is a really concrete way in which it's good. So you're getting good response.
Well, there's been tremendous response, not only from the public. At the National Press Club on May 9th, we had 22 of these witnesses there in one of the best-attended press conferences in history of the of the National Press Club. And people can see that by going to our website, disclosureproject.org. It was covered very heavily. Around 1 to 2 billion people around the world heard about this through the media. And in addition, the grassroots support has been remarkable. Also, I should add, there are significant numbers of people within the Congress and in foreign governments who are listening to this, taking it seriously. And as recently as last week, Congressman Rohrabacher, the Republican chair of the Subcommittee on Technology and Science in the House of Representatives, brought up the UFO and extraterrestrial issue in that subcommittee meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. I want to thank you very much for your work. And also, Dr. Stephen Greer, thanks for taking the time to do this interview. And I guess you said there were 1,000 people yesterday at the conference here in San Francisco on this subject.
Thank you very much.
My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.